The Holy Bible. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is a traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life. It will be the standard of truth and judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy contents. Selected. Good morning, friends. Good morning. I'm indeed happy to be coming your way another time over KGGF, Coffeyville, Kansas. Today I want to bring some goodwill and cheer, so I've chosen to talk about a cheerful countenance. But before I really get into this subject, let me first remind you that he maketh no mistake. God's way may seem so long and slow, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark, and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. It is most comforting to know that God indeed makes no mistakes. We can safely trust his wisdom as well as his power. But now this, a cheerful countenance. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:13. How true. To the weary soul, laden with cares and sorrows of life, what is more invigorating than a cheerful countenance? When the enemy comes in like a flood and your soul is struggling to keep your head above the dashing wave, as it were, how are you made to feel by the presence of a smiling face and a cheerful good morning? And then, to the poor heart who is met with sorrow and disappointment, till his life seems not worth living, to the despondent one who's void of the comforting love of the Savior, does not a bright, cheerful look from the face of a Christian loom up before him and cause a radiant gleam to shine far down his pathway? So little of heaven's perfume does a sinner get that the Christian's life should be so saturated with sweet heavenly odors until his very presence will cheer the fainting soul. This world does not need our frowns and sorrows. They have enough of that. We have only to open our eyes and look out on the faces today and see what they are groping after, cheerfulness and happiness. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Then it is an experience that affects the heart. It first gets into the heart, then there's no trouble about the countenance. Get the right cause, and the effect is sure. You will not need to try to have a cheerful look, but that is the result of a merry heart. You only have to let sorrow creep into the heart, and the spirit is broken. We're not urged to be cheerful when our walk is along a cool, shady nook or blooming flowers. Then our pleasant surroundings arouse within our hearts the desire to sing and be happy. It is when we're passing over the slippery way that we're urged to be cheerful. You remember that when Paul and his crew, related in the 27th chapter of Acts, were sailing upon the rough sea, they were toiling and working to their utmost ability to guide the ship in the desired direction, but to no avail. For they were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. And not just 1 hour, nor several hours were they thus rocked in nature's cradle, but for 3 long days. Even the sun and stars refused to show their brilliant faces for many days. The night was dark. The ship was rocking and tossing here and there. They thought they never would see land again. All hopes were gone. And they despaired even of life. No doubt their hearts were sad by the thoughts of that cold, deep, troublesome ocean so soon being their beds of rest. It was then that an angel ministered unto Paul, and after his departure that Paul exhorted them to be cheerful, for no life should be lost. I fancy that I can see the expression change on their faces by the comforting words of Paul. After a lengthy fast, they refreshed their bodies by taking meat and then were cheerful and happy, even while the storm was raging. Christ told his disciples that in this old dark world they would meet with many perplexities and tribulations, but he exhorted them to be cheerful through it all, comforting them by the thought that he overcame all of these things before he left them. You may have heard it said that some people are just naturally cheerful, while others are of a despondent nature. While this may be true in some respects, yet by diligent effort and careful cultivation of the things that tend to develop cheerfulness, and by the help of the Lord, we can be able to overcome despondency. The pictures that we view cast a shadow before them. Satan is in the picture business, so also is Jesus. Satan's pictures, being dark and gloomy, will cast a shadow over your life if you look upon them. But bright are the pictures that Christ presents to view. They will cheer you, make sunny all your way. Be careful where you look. This is one way we can cultivate cheerfulness. Never allow the devil to bring up past failures to discourage. Let us be like the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13-14. Yet there is the past. Oh, how many regrets there are. How many things have happened which we would gladly recall. But the past is past. No thought or endeavor of ours can bring it back to us again. It is gone forever. What a load of sorrow we sometimes bear, of which we could be relieved, at least in part, if we could learn to look upon the past as past and know that vain regrets will neither redeem the past, brighten the present, nor help the future. Are you mourning over the past? Have you made mistakes that have nearly broken your heart and you feel that life is not worth a living? But, oh, it is worth living. You can profit by past failures, make a glorious success. No matter what your faults have been or how badly you have blundered, be thankful that you have now learned a better way instead of wasting precious time over that which you cannot help. Remember the old adage, failures are stepping stones to success. Life is short and time is fleeting. All of us have made mistakes, but shall we let them discourage us? Would it not be better to rise with new courage? Thank God and our friends for pointing out our defects and make these lessons a means of a nobler life, greater success, and more glorious victories. Others have failed, but through renewed courage have conquered. We too, though having failed many times, can make a success of life and of service to God, and can cast around us an influence that will inspire others who have failed to renew their efforts, to hope in God, to forget the past, and take advantage of present opportunities. That little word unkindly spoken, that tender heart so nearly broken, those loving words we might have said to lift a weary, fainting head, it was not done. Oh, vain regret! But cannot we the past forget? Bravely wipe the tears away and live a better life today. Oh, let us rise in strength and power and let no shadow dim the morrow. Oh, may we ever courage take and just forget each past mistake. Keep the bright pictures hanging very prominently upon memory's wall and take down all others. Let us be instrumental in lifting the load from another soul by a merry heart and a cheerful countenance. Now, before I go, let me leave with you a thought for the day. Is anybody happier because you passed this way? Does anyone remember that you spoke to him today? This day is almost over, and his toiling time is through. Is there anyone to utter a kindly word of you? Did you give a friendly greeting to the friend who came along, or a churlish sort of howdy and then vanished in the throng? Were you selfish, pure, and simple as you rushed along your way? Or is someone mighty grateful for a deed you did today? Can you say tonight in parting, with the day that's slipping fast, that you helped a single brother of the many that you passed? Our Father, bless the message to the good of every listener, and for that which is accomplished, we'll surely give thee the praise in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.